my lovelies. This is the Reverend John St. Germain. Welcome you once again to the Crystal Silence League Hour, brought to you by the LMC Radio Network. And tonight we're continuing our discussion of manifesting mind, how to bring about the realities that live within the seamy confines of your own skull into reality. Why don't you join us in just a minute? Go get you a nice cold drink or hot drink or warm drink or lukewarm drink or tepid drink and come back, and we will return in just a few minutes. Actually gave me just about enough time to get up and close the door to my office, to the studio. And I have to do that because my douchebag Tomcat loves to come in here and knock stuff over while I'm trapped at the broadcast station by the limited tether of my headphones. He'll come in here and knock stuff over and look at me like, what are you going to do about it, nanny nanny boo boo? And I can't. And then he'll start destroying my entire life and dismantling it in the way demon-possessed cats love to do. But hey, welcome. Isn't this great that we're all here together enjoying the spiritual companionship of one another and just having a good time? And it's November 1st, All Saints Day. And this is the anniversary of my mother's death, by the way. She passed into spirit on November 1st. I want to tell you, my mother was not a saint. So we always thought that was ironic. She passed away quietly. I will tell you that both my parents died of smoking-related illnesses. My dad died of emphysema, my mom of lung cancer. So I always tell people, I see them smoking. I said, you know that's going to kill you. And they said, well, maybe, maybe not. I said, well, the chances are 1 in 3. And people say, I like that odds. So really, well, would you put, you know, would you put 2 bullets in a gun and spin the chamber and hold it to your head and pull the trigger? And actually, someone once told me, well, if there was enough money involved, I would. And I thought, what a stupid answer. But, you know, there you go. And so I urge any of you guys, if you'd seen the way either one of my parents died, if someone took a movie of it and showed it to you, I think you'd quit smoking right now. I urge all of you, take care of yourselves. Keep your health steady. You know, be as healthy as you can. These things do have impact. And, you know, I'm going to say that I just ate the leftover Halloween candy, you know. And, you know, my goodness, I'm a physician, heal thyself. Speaking of that, let's go on to our Crystal of the Week here in a minute. I suppose I should tell you about the Crystal Silence League, shouldn't I? This was founded in 1917 by Mr. Claude Alexander Comlin, a magical adept who founded this organization for the purposes of distributing and sending out positive affirmations and prayers to all those in need of such. And when he passed into the silence in 1954, he took the league with him until it was, in modern times, reanimated, resurrected from beyond by adepts of Missionary Independent Spiritual Church. And now you can find us online, missionaryindependent.org, I believe. And The adepts founded this, and you can find Crystal Silence League at crystalsilenceleague.org, crystalsilenceleague.org, and you'll find many things there, including a gift shop where you can buy crystal balls and crystals and literature. Part of that literature is from our founder, Mr. Claude Comlin, and some of it is by me, Reverend John St. Germain. We have a recent book that came out in May. Crystal Magic, Divination, Healing, and Spellcraft with Gems and Minerals, which is the use of crystals and stones in the 4 branches of crystallomancy. The 4 branches, of course, were pioneered by our founder, and that is, of course, divination and scrying, projection of prayers and spells with silent influence, reception of blessings from the divine and from friends, and transformative healing and lasting self-empowerment, all with the use of crystals and crystal balls. It's a wonderful little book. I think you should pick it up. And if you do so and buy some crystals and crystal balls, you can turn your life around. That's what we talk about on the show. www.crystalsilenceleague.org, and you'll also see a page called Prayer Requests. And on that page, we get hundreds of prayers a week. And prayers are always free at the Crystal Silence League. You can go on there and pray for each other, and we pray for you, and our pastors print out your prayers, and we put them on our altars, and we pray for you. And we'll be getting to some of those prayers in a little bit, because it's been my custom since the show started for me to read aloud many of those prayers, and we all pray for you. I don't read them all out loud. That would take too many shows, and we never get to read them all, because we do get hundreds, but I read some of them. But first, let's get to our Crystal of the Week. I need some introduction music. Da-da-da, Crystal of the Week, which this week is Bloodstone or Heliotrope. And Bloodstone has many legends about it. Heliotrope comes from Stone of the Sun, because it's believed to be the gift of the sun god. And there's also a legend that it was formed from the blood of Jesus falling on the ground, and many, many legends. But it's always been seen as a healing stone. They dip it in cold water in the old days and put it on the afflicted area to help staunch bleeding. But it's a green jasper with red jasper or iron inclusions, putting red spots on it. So it's a green stone with red spots. And this gives it a multi-level healing capacity. It resonates mostly with the heart chakra because of the green. And sometimes that red inclusion is pinkish. And if it's pinkish, then you've got a double whammy for the heart chakra. If it's red, that red will cause a tie-in to the root chakra. So it will tether the heart chakra to the root chakra. And that's really good. It's handy to know during those times when the heart chakra is being especially assailed with emotional blows. So this is a good stone to help balance and regulate issues involving emotional boundaries, who to let in, who to shut out, who to keep at arm's length, who you can embrace. And it's very good at draining away anger and negativity, both from people and environments. So it's a strengthening and protective stone, especially against bullying and intimidation. You can wear it or carry it when entering hostile situations. It can help boost flagging confidence and motivation. And some folklore says it can ward off snake bite. That might be handy to know. Keep that in your toolkit. It invigorates the physical system. And in healing circles, it's believed to ward off colds and flus and to strengthen the blood and circulatory system and to help with pregnancy and childbirth. So if you make an infusion from it, it's safe to use the indirect method. It won't dissolve in the water. So you place a piece of the bloodstone in water and you let it sit in the sun for a day or so. You can remove the stone, add a little brandy to it. The brandy helps keep your water from growing bacteria, or you can add a lot of brandy to it and have it as an aperitif. And you can place the infusion in an airtight bottle. So you can drink some of this infusion daily, and you can apply it, you know, a dab of it to your heart chakra for healing purposes or to various parts of your body to increase circulation and to promote healing. You can sprinkle a bloodstone infusion around your house to help dispel negative energies and repel magical and spiritual assault. And that's our lecture of the day on the use of bloodstone. And the good news about bloodstone is it's pretty cheap. It's a jasper, so it's not expensive at all. When it grows in the wild, it's on these huge chunks, huge mountainous chunks, like most jaspers, and they just break it up and you get it. You can get it tumbled. You can get it polished, but I always prefer my stones as they come out of the ground along the natural fracture lines. And I don't polish them anymore. I just use them like they come out of the ground. They're pretty that way. They're beautiful. We're going to read some prayers now, and this is our customary prayer time. For those of you who don't like prayer, now's the time you can check your Facebook pages and your emails. And for those of you who like to pray along with us, that's what we're going to do now. I do not read these prayers by identification. I don't call anyone's name out, although I'm looking right at your name and your pictures because I am a pastor. I have the secret code word to get in and do that. I'm just going to read aloud the prayer ID. So let us begin, and please, if you will, pray along with me and send healing and comforting thoughts to the following individuals. Prayer ID number 55726, who says, "So sad. Please pray for me that my magic works and I finally see magic in the universe again. I want to see my spell work manifest beautifully. May it be so. Amen." And prayer ID number 55725, who says she's tired of being alone. And as a follow-up to a previous prayer sent in, I decided to take a five-week break from the location of where I see a man whose initial is J that I want to be with. I've done spell work and have prayed hard and asked for guidance. I will give him a small item laced with come-to-me powder this weekend since his birthday just passed. Must have listened to our laying tricks. Since his birthday just passed, pray that the impact of seeing me gives him the courage to pursue closer relationship. God got me through a battle of cancer. Now I'm focused on my life and I don't want to be alone. Good for you, girl. Go. May this be so. Amen. And prayer ID number 55724. I'm moving to another state. I applied for an apartment, but it was declined. I have evictions asking for a place to live, my own address. I need a new car, new work. I need the right time to move, moving this Friday, and I need help fast. Well, we'll pray for you. We sure will. May obstacles be removed, and may this move be expedited. May you find your job. May you get everything you need to help you with your new life. Amen. Prayer ID number 55723, an urgent prayer, asking for urgent prayers. I'm in desperate need of a job. I need a financial miracle as soon as possible. Also, that the men that were supposed to help me will help me as soon as possible. Thank you. Many blessings. Amen. And prayer ID number 55722. I ask that he reaches out today to make amends. Blessings to you all. I hope he reaches out too. Amen. Prayer ID number 55721 needs healing. My partner reacts to his vulnerability by becoming cruel towards me and shutting me out. It hurts deeply, especially after intimacy. He has owned these patterns but hasn't taken the steps to change them. I'm anxious, tired, sad, and lonely. I seek comfort and clarity. I want to be with him, but I need him to work on his part. Please pray for me and for him. It would be a sad shame for us to end. Amen. And prayer ID number 55720. Please pray for things at my job to be fixed or for me to get a new job so I can leave this one. I'm miserable there. My boss overlooks me. She wants me out. She doesn't want to train me. She calls in someone else who's trying to take my job. I'm so tired and mentally exhausted. Please, please pray that someone will step in to help me or for her to be removed from that job. Amen. And this is prayer ID number 55719. I ask that you please put in your prayers that my fiancé is able to find a new job where he will be happy doing what he loves. I'm also asking in prayer for his finances to grow and improve as he has been struggling financially for quite a while. I ask that he is able to see that all this is a learning life lesson to trust and have faith and to stop taking it personally. Thank you so much. Amen. And prayer ID number 55718. Lord, I come before you with a heavy heart. My marriage is in trouble and I need your help. Please break down the walls in R's mind and heart. Rescue him from the path of destruction and give him the wisdom and insight to know you. Flood his heart with your light. You are my defender, and I trust you to guard my heart and mind and to give me wisdom and strength. Help me to love R courageously. Let your perfect love cast out all of my fears. Please transform our marriage so that it honors you. Amen. Someone that knows how to pray. And we have prayer number 55717. My fiancé completed 2 rehab programs in the last year and has relapsed once again. He has struggled with alcoholism for most of his life. Please pray he stops drinking for himself, that he learns to have an ongoing connection, build a strong relationship with his higher power, restore his faith that all things will work out. Please pray he learns to manage his anger and frustrations which cause him to drink. Alcoholism be gone for good from his life. And so it is done. In God's name, amen. Prayer ID 55716. Dear Lord, thank you for all that you've done for me and allow me to do all that I need to get my life on a spiritual and better path. Thank you for all that you've given me, and I ask that you touch R.A. and H.D. and that they forward the money owed to me immediately. Thank you. Amen. Prayer ID number 55715. Pray that the man I'm falling for makes our relationship exclusive. He wants to keep me around, but I cannot be his girl at his convenience. Pray that he realizes his behavior will make him lose me. We're at the beginning of something that could be real between us. I love him, but my faith in him has been shaken. He needs to bring it back to me. Give him the courage to not be afraid of love. Pray that he shows me that he cares. Amen. You better shape up, man. You're going to lose this girl. Prayer ID number 55714. Please pray for me to be approved to get a new car. My car is on its last leg, and I cannot be without a car. My credit is not the best, and I'm afraid that I won't get approved for anything. Please pray that I will be able to get a car loan as soon as possible. In Jesus' name, amen. Prayer ID number 55713, and this is our final prayer. Please pray for me to be blessed with a new job as soon as possible as a director of product integrity or quality assurance director. Please pray for me. I would like to work for a company where I can excel and grow. I want to be at a company where I can do my job in peace and be respected and appreciated for what I do. That's no more than you deserve, man. The company that I work for is in serious trouble, and my boss is pure evil. Please pray for me in Jesus' name. Amen. And let us now have a moment of prayer for all those in need of prayer and comfort and the spiritual boost they need to get through these hard times. Pray with me. Amen. I'm in the spirit tonight. I feel the spirit tonight. Well, gosh, welcome everyone. We started the show with an empty chat room, and now we got people. We have people in our chat room tonight. Why don't you join us in chat if you're out there? We usually have a lively conversation. I do believe some of our dear friends are on the road. Our normal crew of peanuts who drop in. I think a lot of people are traveling, and some folks I understand have cold and flu. It's that time of year when the season changes. People have allergies and they get these seasonal shifts of colds and stuff. So I hope everybody had a nice Halloween and Samhain and Diwali, and hope you got lots of tricks and treats, and that everything just went well for you. We got plenty of candy. We got trick-or-treaters. You know, we buy 50 pounds of candy and give out 20. So that's just a good ratio. We're talking about the mind and how you can get inside your head and take the things inside your head and throw it out there and see what can come back. We talked a little bit about the idea that consciousness is a universal quality. That this is the sort of thing, a universal component of the universe, and that we have to consider that this is maybe a something we need to take very seriously, because many people have, and this whole thing is called panpsychism. This is a very, very old school panpsychism, the idea that consciousness exists everywhere, like gravity, electromagnetism, mass. It's an emergent quality of the universe that it's just there. And this is not a vaporous belief. There are rationalists, very material people, that believe this. And so this is a solution to many problems that arise. And I'm going to tell you that many empirical arguments arise from this. I just want to talk about this a little while and then go on to something else. There was a very rational argument who brought up by a fellow named Thomas Nagel, because he said there's no truly emergent properties of any complex system. He denies that mental properties can arise out of complex relationships between physical matter. In other words, the brain alone and its functions cannot explain consciousness. So, as you go through various philosophies, even Darwinists, evolutionists, begins with the assumption that evolution is a process that creates complex systems out of pre-existing simpler systems that can't make just out of nowhere entirely new systems, right? In other words, human beings didn't appear out of nowhere. You know, frogs didn't appear out of nowhere. These all evolved from simpler systems. You know, it may have started with a one-cell animal, but it had to start somewhere. You didn't have nothing. Nothing popped up. So, a very famous evolutionist whose name was William Clifford argued that we can't suppose that so enormous a jump from one creature to another could have occurred at any point in the process of evolution, as the introduction of a fact entirely different and separate from the physical fact. He's talking about consciousness. It's impossible for anybody to point out the particular place in the line of descent where that event can be supposed to have taken place. In other words, from a non-conscious, a non-sentient organism to a sentient organism. The only thing that we can come to, if we accept the doctrine of evolution at all, is that even in the very lowest organism, even in the amoeba which swims about in our own blood, there is something or other that's inconceivably simple to us, which is the same nature of our own consciousness. So when we look at this problem of consciousness, we find this view that the basic physical constituents of the universe, the very most fundamental part of the universe, has mental properties. Now, what do the quantum physicists have to say about it? Well, there's a fellow, Alfred Whitehead, says that quantum physics defend panpsychism. They see that quantum elements explain consciousness, and there are many, many people we've talked about here. I talked about the physics of consciousness on exhaustively and exhaustingly on a series of shows, how there are many quantum scientists who even measured the data rate of consciousness on a quantum level, so we won't go back onto that. So let us assume that the universe is conscious, that there's a fundamental quality of consciousness, and that we are part of that, that we tie into that. Well, what do we do about that? We're talking about manifesting into consciousness. We have in New Thought this idea of silent influence, or sending out what happens in our mind manifests in reality. Well, we're making an unnecessary dualism there. What happens in our mind is reality. And if we understand that, if we understand that what happens in our mind is reality, then we're there. We're really there. So in the second branch of crystal gazing, founded by Mr. Conlon, silent influence, the projection of prayers and spells and wishes and desires by silent influence, becomes immediately available, as long as we understand that. So it's an awesome and powerful, and I mean that in the old sense, not the way kids use it, you know, like, oh, that's an awesome lunch. I mean awesome as an awe-inspiring and powerful proposition. And what this means in the practical world is, let's say you have an important business meeting, you might send out thoughts of silent influence before you even meet your clients. And you may urge through this silent influence for your clients to see you in a favorable light. You might even see them in your mind signing the contract in your mind. And you send that out, and the deed is done before it even occurs. There used to be an old thing in Kung Fu, in martial arts, in the art of war, that says the battle is won in the mind of the warrior before it even starts, before the first blow is founded. They were not talking philosophy. They were talking reality. The smart warrior, the master of the Tao, the master of Qi, defeated his opponent in his mind before the first blow was landed. And this was literally the case. He sent out, this is how I'm going to whip your ass, and that manifested. So you might, you know, say you're appearing in court, you might sway the judge in your favor through your crystal ball, through your projection, through your manifestation, several days before your hearing. Now, this is not a fantasy. This is not at all a fantasy. And it's not limited to people. It's, you can penetrate reality itself and reweave it to the way you want it. You can attract love, prosperity, success, fortune, fame, health. You can turn it around. Now, these techniques work. If you look at the history of Mr. Conlon, he was a farm boy, and he became the highest paid stage performer of his time. And there were people like Blackstone and Houdini that were his competitors, and he made more money than they did significantly. You know, we remember Houdini. You know, Houdini had more legend because that's what Houdini did. He made legends. But when it came down to the money, the Skrilla, Claude Alexander Conlon, Alexander, the man who knows, Alexander, the man who knows, made more money in 9 years than Houdini did in his entire career. This is a fact. And if you go back and look at the pictures, you'll see posters that will say, Alexander, the man who knows, and under it, Houdini, the man who wished he were Alexander. And there'll be lines going around the entire block in New York, around the entire block of the theater where Alexander is circling in the entire city block, waiting to get in to see Alexander. And he did this using these methods. when they appeared on the same bill, he was paid a much higher fee, and this ate Houdini up. Apparently, they were found in Alexander's estate, after he died, a letter where he was trying to collect a debt that Houdini owed him. But before you do these projections, your mind has to be absolutely clear. You can't have maybe thoughts. And I'm going to give you an example of that. How many of you who do spell work for clients, you have a client who says, yeah, I broke up with my ex. I'm kind of trying to get him back. He comes over sometimes or she comes over sometimes. But I'm seeing this other person, and, this could turn into something too. It's a really good man, a really good woman. We're going out, and, man, this man really loves me. I could see – this man would treat me really good, but there's my ex, and I'm kind of talking to him, and maybe he'll come back. And I always ask these clients a question. I'll say, okay, this new relationship you're in, let's say he says, I want to marry you and spend the rest of my life with you. And you think, okay, that's fine. Yeah, let's do that. But then your ex comes back. Would you go back to your ex? And a lot of times they'll say, well, maybe. Well, maybe. And I always tell them this. I say, then you're not ready, because if maybe is what you're sending out, maybe is what you're going to bring in. And that's why so many relationships fail, because so many people want a relationship with a back door. They're holding out for something better. They're saying, well, maybe this is the one. Maybe this is the right one. Maybe I'm ready to commit. And they're holding out. They're holding back. They're not full-heartedly applying themselves to anything. Their relationship, their family, their job, even their life. They're sending out maybe, and maybe is what you're going to get. You're going to get a job that's a maybe. You'll get a job, but it's one where you'll be there a year, year and a half, get laid off. You'll get a relationship, but it's one that they won't fully commit to you. It'll be a maybe. You'll get prosperity, but it'll be maybe. It will pay most of your bills. You'll have a life, but it'll be a maybe. You'll always be reaching. You got to be totally committed. You got to be absolutely sure. And many of my clients, they're ready. Some of them aren't. And, if you're a spell worker, if you're doing root work, if you're doing spell work of any kind, if you're doing counseling, you know exactly what I'm talking about. They've got someone that comes over. They want to have one line out to their ex and one line out in front of them to get somebody else, and they're not going to get either one of them. I'll say, how dedicated are you to get that ex back? Some of them say, I'll do whatever it takes, heaven and earth, move heaven and earth. Well, these are the people that are more likely to get the ex back. They're saying, well, if he comes back, I'm willing to have him back, but I'm also seeing this other guy, and he might work out too. And there's nothing wrong with playing the field, because finding the one that's right for you is a numbers game. You got to go out with a lot of people before you go, a click, there we go, that's it. It's not, my grandma used to say you have to sit on the couch for a long time with your mouth open before a fried chicken flies into it. You got to go out there. You got to go out there, man, and look. It's not going to come to you just sitting on the couch, which a lot of people think is going to happen. They'll say, will you light me a candle and, bring me a lover? And I say, so what are you doing to find your lover? Well, not much. I'm going to work and coming home. Well, you think, they're going to knock on the door holding a box of candy or, stand there in a nightgown or something? You got to go out and do something on your part. So manifesting involves utter commitment to the manifestation. Utter commitment to the manifestation. And once you've committed to the manifestation, you have dedicated yourself to changing reality. And you got to be absolutely clear on this. And when you're going to do a projection, and this is very important, and you have to do this daily, your mind must be absolutely clear. And then you go into the silence. You put aside everything distracting. You can't have anger, anxiety, doubt. And doubt will kill you in this business. It will kill you in this kind of work. No thoughts of uncertainty. And it doesn't hurt if you're proficient in meditation. Set everything aside, turn your phone off, get the hell off Facebook, quit arguing about who's going to be president. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who's going to be president. It's not going to destroy the country. We're not going to have a goddamn nuclear war. It's, don't worry, because the president does not run the country. We have a democratic republic. Quit calling it a democracy, by the way. We're a democratic republic. And therefore, decisions are made by the government, which has three houses. And I'd like you to name the three houses that run the country, not the president, but the three houses that run the country, the three branches of government. And if you don't know it, there's a song that they used to play it. the Grammar Rock series, go back and they call me a Bill up on Capitol Hill. Go back and look at that. It doesn't matter. Quit arguing about it. You know, quit calling each other names. Quit eviscerating each other on Facebook and go back to your damn life and, you know, get a life. So meditate. Get calm. Get calm. Get calm. Set your mind on your goal. And don't have a whole bunch of goals you're trying to send out all at once. What's the most important thing in your life? Make priorities. What is the most important thing in your life? If it's a person, what's the most important person in your life? And here's your priority here. First, you have to be happy, because if you're not happy, how are you going to make anybody else happy? If you're miserable, sad, lonely, depressed, you're not going to make anybody else happy. You're going to make them miserable, sad, lonely, and depressed. What you send out is what you're going to get. You cannot love somebody else if you don't love yourself. Don't tell me otherwise. Send it out. Love yourself. Be happy with yourself. And then who is the one person that you want to be as happy as you? That you want to share this happiness with? Who's that one person? And then bring everybody else in. And this will tell you what you need to do. This will give you the answer. Who do you want to be as happy as yourself? Who do you want to bring in? Then who's third on that list? If you're in a conflict between two very difficult decisions, yourself, make yourself happy, because you're not going to please anybody. You're not going to please everybody. You're not going to, if it's between two people, if it's between your parents and your lover, if it's between your family and somebody else, if it's between this and that, you're not going to make everybody happy. That's not possible. Who's the person? Who do you want to make happy most? Next to yourself. Yourself first. Then who's the next thing you want? Person will be happy. This is how you set your priorities. What's the one thing you want most? The one thing you want most. And then the next thing, you make priorities. So go after that one thing first. That one thing might be necessary, the most necessary thing. Then you got to be very calm, confident, assured, and focused. And you go into the silence, which is really the place of causation. And what this means is, say you need money or you want money. You don't go into a place of need, like, oh my God, I need money. You know, universe, give me money. You go into the place where you have prosperity. You see, being poor is a state of mind. That's a lifestyle. But being broke is temporary. You may not have a dime in your pocket. That doesn't mean you're poor. That means that you got money. It's out there. It's just not in your pocket yet. There's money out there. You're rich. You know, you're prosperous. You got millions of dollars. It's not in your pocket yet. That's what the attitude is. You know, you're not lonely. You're not unloved. You're loved. Man, there's someone that loves you, worships you. They're just not there yet. You're just not together yet. You're not unloved and lonely. No, you're loved. You're adored. There's someone that worships the ground you walk on. You just got to bring them to you. You got to meet them. So, see, you got to go into the place of pure causation. You got to go in that place in your mind where you feel that is a truth. You go into your mind, I am rich, I am prosperous. And you got to feel it. What's it feel like to have all that money? Don't worry about your bills. You got more money. You write checks, pay all your bills. You want something, you can buy it. You go there in your mind. And that's what you send out. And what you send out will happen. You will get it back. What you send out, you will get it back. And the thing is, very few of us at first will believe that. So you're going to send out a little bit of it. You'll say, yeah, I'm rich, I'm prosperous, man, I'm going to get it back. And what you'll get back is not big returns, very likely. If you do it on the first shot, I'll shake your hand. You know, but you'll get some of it back. You'll get some of it, and that little bit that you get back will encourage you to get more back. And the better you get at it, the more you will. I will tell you, you want to talk about manifestation, I'm the man to talk to you about manifestation. I came to Knoxville 3.5 years ago with nothing in my pocket, and I built a church this year. So I am the man to talk to you about manifestation. I'll tell you, this does work. So you can do this with a crystal ball. So you hold your crystal ball in your hands. You can rest it on a stand. If you're using complementary crystals, you pick a crystal to your condition. You want money, you get a green ball. You want love, you get a pink ball or lavender. You get your mind calm. You get your confidence up. You go into the silence, you hold that ball up, and you pour all that into that ball. Then you send it out in every direction. And that's the great thing about a ball, is that it's omnidirectional. It sends it out everywhere, in all directions. And then when you're done with your projection, you suck it back into the ball and back into yourself. And that's the attractive work, your induction. You bring it back in and back into yourself. And this is all in the literature of Mr. Conlon. We have a couple of books on it. And we also have my book, Crystal Magic, that goes into it. And let's say we're doing it with a like a boss. We would visualize the target. You know, you got your boss, you visualize that guy with all the detail you can. You see, hear, smell them, reach out and touch them, shake their hand, and you imagine them performing the action you want from them. So you say, Mr. Jones, you know I'm the best employee you have. You know this. You recognize this. You want to reward me for this. You're offering me a raise and a promotion, and I'm grateful, and I accept that raise and promotion. And then you fire it out there. Boom, you fire it. You hit him right in the eyes with it, and you hurl it into the crystal, and you send it right to him, boom, into Mr. Jones. Then you let it go and relax and accept that this is going to happen. And, you know, I've had people say, well, I did it, and it didn't manifest. And I say, well, you know, they're impatient. It didn't manifest the next day. And that's funny. You get that with spell work, too. You know, someone will call you up and say, yeah, can you do this spell work? And then they call you 3 hours later. Well, nothing's happened yet. And, you know, if you read the literature, you know, Henry Hyatt and stuff, people would wait a year before something happened. They would do it during the planting season. And then they'd bury something. And then it's the next planting season when the grapes or the cotton or something came in. That thing manifested, and you realized from one planting season to the next is a year. And now with this instant access society we live in, people want you to do really difficult spell work, and they'll call you the next day. Well, nothing's happened yet. Is anything wrong? And you go, you know, my God, give it some time. Give the spirits time to get in there and work. So give this time. Give it time. You know, give the universe time to work on these things. And I'll give you an example of one of Mr. Conlon's codes. He called these codes. You don't have to go into great detail because, you know, the universe, the consciousness of the universe is a reflection of your own consciousness. And so it knows what you need. So Mr. Conlon gave a code for friendship. And so let's say you're trying to get a friend, and you know, there's somebody you want to bring in as a friend, and he said, this is the code for friendship. I'm happy in the confidence of my friend, Frank. We are agreed. We're in harmony. We're united. My friend is drawing nearer to me daily. And so codes are always positive. So instead of saying, I will stop eating between meals, you say, I'm happy to feel hunger, for I'm strong and brave, and I finish my work before eating. You always make an affirmation out of it. You know, you don't say, I'm going to lose all this weight because I'm a big fat pig. You say, every day I'm getting healthier. Every day I'm drawing health from the universe, and I'm becoming my ideal healthier self. I'm strong. I'm brave. I'm filled with power and energy. Every day I feel more confident, more powerful, more energetic. So the these compressed codes are so powerful that I suggest to clients who call me for training, and believe me, if you have trouble with this, book an appointment. I'll train you in this stuff. I've trained many people in this. When they're sending for an unknown romantic partner, they should not give me or make a list of traits you know, like a grocery list. You know, funny, good provider, loyal, attractive, great in bed, dutiful, passionate, artistic, smart. That's not necessary. You know what you want. You don't have to speak it or say it out loud. These unspoken traits or assumptions ride on the wave of what you're sending out. Remember, if doubt and uncertainty and maybe is going out there without you saying it, your certainties are too. So all you need to do is clearly feel that person in your heart. You feel it. You go into that silence and you feel that companion with you. You feel, you know, that's what I used to call when I send it out, my companion. I did it in Italian because sometimes I think in Italian, la compagna. I said, la compagna, I'm looking for you. You know, you're looking for me. Let's quit. I said, let's quit fucking around. You know, pardon me, I don't like to use language like that. But I said, let's quit fucking around and find each other. La compagna, you know, my companion. Let's find each other. And boy, we did. It was like 2 weeks later, under miraculous circumstances, which I've related numerous times. And then you clearly think of that. You know, come to me, love. I'm looking for you and you're looking for me. Let's find each other. And then through miraculous events, the way and the means and the roads, well, you will find each other. You'll be knocked about like two pinballs. And you will find each other. You might be standing in line at Starbucks, or you might be introduced through friends, but sooner or later, it will happen. And that's the secret, really, of successful projection. You act and feel and believe that you've already made those changes. Those changes are real. In your mind, they're real. And if they're real in your mind, reality will change. And do you know that cognitive scientists will say that a experience in your mind is just as real as an experience in reality. So there's really, and I will say this: there's no difference between a false memory and a real memory as far as your experience goes. You can be just as scared by something scary in a movie, for instance, as something scary in real life, or something that you think happened. There's a thing called false memory syndrome, where people have memories that never happened, but they believe they're real. And you cannot distinguish between a false memory and a real memory, including the emotions. So all experience happens in the head. I want you to know this. I want you to believe this. The only way we deal with reality, and this is what Buddha meant by the all, is through our senses. Through our senses. And all senses do not happen. The eye, the ear, touch, that's not where sensory occurs. It happens in the mind. Now, the eye, the ear, hands gather information and send it to the brain, which then sends it to the mind. The mind conceives it. But you cut off a hand, it doesn't experience touch. You take an eye out of the socket, it does not see. It can gather information, but it is not conscious of sight. It all happens in the mind. So experience occurs in the mind. If you experience the love of your companion in your mind, it is no different from experiencing it in what you might call the real world. It is not different. And that is why reality must conform to it. Do you believe that? Let's go to station identification.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Roar Power with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, Sundays 3 to 4:30, Candela's Corner with Candelo Cambisa and Michael Carell, Mondays 5 to 7, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6, In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7, Fit and Foxy with Madame Nadia and Jaya Adanya, Wednesdays 6 to 7, The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LeFay, Fridays 6 to 7, and Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Saturdays 5 to 7, all time specific, at 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
That's what a good cup of strong black coffee will do for you. Yes, it will. Now, there's a mental component to experience. All experience is the mind. That's why all action occurs in the mind. Mind is the forerunner. That's what we've put in everything. You know, it says mind is the forerunner of everything, and it is. Everything starts in the mind. Everything you see around you, this entire construction of everything, started in the mind. And if there's a building, it starts in the mind. If there's murder, it starts in the mind. If there's blessing, it starts in the mind. Everything. So there's a mind-body connection as well. And so we know that there's two components to emotions, and this may not have ever occurred to some of you. There's a mental component to emotion that we know, and there's also physical. And, you know, if you doubt it, just think about it. Love is often accompanied by pleasurable physical feelings in the abdominal region, and fear, especially intense fear like terror, is felt as a loosening of the muscles in the lower diaphragm. You know, people say they mess their pants, you know, they soil themselves. That's the diaphragm loosens. Anger is felt as a tightening in the upper chest, and we speak of the warm glow of contentment, icy fear, hot rage, things like this. There are physical changes that occur with emotion. And pain also has a double component. When we experience physical pain, we're likely to have anxiety, fear, stress, anger. And pain reduction techniques started being taught several years ago, back in the 80s, that consisted mainly of quieting the emotional reactions to pain, allowing the mind to distance and disassociate from the physical sensations. And another approach, which has been practiced by Buddhists for millennia, is to replace the feelings of fear and anxiety with compassion and healing. And what this tells us is that the mind-body connection is a direct circuit to overall well-being. That if you can control the body's reaction, if you can discipline the body's reaction, you're halfway there to disciplining the mind. So if you realize that, well, if you assume there's a universal consciousness, and the universal consciousness has a mind's eye, and that we are a product of a series of events that started with thought in the universal consciousness, then there is a perfect, healthy, powerful you and I that exists in thought. So if we can connect with this perfect, healthy, powerful you and possess it, it is you, right? If there's a perfect, powerful you that exists in thought somewhere, then you can become that. So find it. If as we are taught in New Thought, there's a storehouse of goodies that's waiting for us to claim it, prosperity, health, wealth, there is a perfect you if you can claim it and build a connection to it. And we can cultivate and trigger the body's own natural healing mechanisms by cultivating and developing an attitude of joyful expectation, anticipation, and faith that healing is not only possible, remember, don't do maybe, but inevitable, that we will get better. You'll become the very embodiment of that perfect, healthy you, mind, body, and spirit. Healing will occur, and if there's a body part that's injured, requires healing, put your attention on it. And if you want to use your crystal ball, get you a nice amber crystal, a yellow crystal, hold it up, draw all the healing energy of the universe into it, let it radiate over that healing part. This works on my joints. I have some joint issues sometimes, and I'll just get a yellow crystal and just let it heal it. And healthy thoughts lead to a healthy body. But remember this, it doesn't forbid you to see a doctor if you have medical issues. Don't say, man, I got diabetes, I'm going to heal it with a blue crystal. You know, don't do that. But project a code out there to attract a good doctor, you see. Now, I'll tell you that these, from my experience and from the experience of other people, this will reduce your recovery time tremendously. I had rotator cuff surgery in my shoulder, and they said, it'll be 6 months before you get that shoulder back. It was about 3 months. And they were like, man, you're a fast healer. Yeah, I really am. And, you know, I'm in my 50s, so there you go. So if you're healing yourself and you remember there's a healthy, strong you existing in thought, merge with it. You can, this is your spiritual twin, and dwell with it in the silence and attract energy from that powerful you into your crystal ball and let that crystal ball radiate those healing rays. And then you'll begin, if you work with different crystals and you work with different crystal balls, you'll notice that they have different feels. The touch of the balls are different, even though they're made from similar materials. You know, you think, well, that's just a glass ball. It's a smooth ball. The energy that comes out of them feels different. Some are slippery. Some will feel furry. Some will feel warm. And some feel oily. When you start activating them, and it's very, very strange how this is. Now, I'm going to tell you something even very stranger than this. When you start working with crystals and crystal balls, they begin to tell you how to use them. You'll have a restlessness. You'll say, well, man, I just feel like I need something in my life. And you'll pick up your crystal ball and you'll roll it and you'll go into the silence and you'll go, Oh, I need to project this. I need this into my life. And you'll send it out there. You say, I need to talk to this. I need a person to tell me this or teach me this. And that person will come into your life. And there is a law of this called the law of correspondence. And that is, for every corresponding thought, there's a corresponding reality. And this also, there's another law. In New Thought, there's a lot of laws. There's a lot of laws. And the only one anyone knows about is the law of attraction. But the law of attraction is only part of the story, and that's why it's ineffective the way most people use it. And so the law of correspondence is another part of the law of attraction. That's the flip side of it, because for every corresponding thought, there's a corresponding reality that must be matched up with it. And there's also a thing called the law of non-resistance. And you know how positive thinking people tell you to avoid negative people? You know, if you do that, soon you're going to be by yourself. Everybody has bad periods they go through. And the law of non-resistance advises us that in dealing with confrontational or uncomfortable people, we don't create resistance between their way of thinking and ours, because this creates conflict. We're imagining some kind of negative force radiating from them, and that's not bad. That's not true at all. They're suffering, so we apply the golden rule, and we do unto others. We express compassion. Shutting them out is just becoming selfish, and our work is fueled by spiritually focused desire. So I got to question someone's spiritual strength or resolve if it can be turned aside by a brief encounter with a depressed or angry person. So the law of non-resistance says, you know, be like a tree, you know, in the wind. The stiff and unyielding is the disciple of death, according to Lao Tzu. The gentle and yielding is the disciple of life. So you learn to be supple and yielding in the face of negativity. And this is a very negative world sometimes. And that negativity cannot be avoided. You learn to bend with it, and you learn to use it. You learn to use it. You bend with it. You go with the flow. And the law of non-resistance is much, much more productive than avoiding negativity. Because, you know, good luck with that. Good luck with that. Well, we're down to a minute. Thanks for sticking with me for another hour. You know, I love you guys. I love you much. And come back next week. In the Streets of Beverly Smith is next. And be sure to tune in. We'll talk to you next week. We'll deal more with manifesting mind. We're going to continue with this and how to bring about those things that you really want. Let's go out with a little music and see you next week.